The scripture portion for today's meditation is taken from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1, verses 40 through 45. A leper came to him begging him, and kneeling he said to him, "If you choose, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I do choose, be made clean." Immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. After sternly warning him, he sent him away at once, saying to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the word, so that Jesus could no longer go into a town openly, but stayed out in the country. And people came to him from every quarter. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Good morning, church. I'm Dana Lundblad, and I have the privilege of speaking to you this morning. And I'm going to start this sermon in the traditional format, which is I'm going to tell a story. And this is a story about when I was young. I was just a spring chicken Christian at the age of 21. And I went on a service project with a number of folks who were part of my college fellowship to Mexico. And it was it was like I was participating in a sociological experiment that was so outside of my own sphere of experience. It was really kind of hard for me to grapple with. To give you some context, in my family growing up, showing weakness was not something I really ever saw. I mean, we had weaknesses. Of course we did. My brothers, my parents, myself. But those things were downplayed, very private, secreted away. And instead, it seemed to me that it was important to show strength at all times, to show confidence, and that you were pulled together, even if you felt like you were falling apart. And so when I was in Mexico, I found myself experiencing a very, very different dynamic. There I was, small team of six people living in small villages. Generally, that meant that we were all in one room with all of our hammocks slung from one end to the next. And there was just not a lot of privacy, no secrets whatsoever. And over the course of time, one by one, we were all befelled by gastrointestinal issues of varying degrees, from extreme to very extreme. And it was so crazy to me that habitually every morning we would gather as a team and people would check in on the quality of their inner workings. You know, how's it going? How are you feeling? How are you feeling spiritually about your inner workings? Was it better today? Was it worse? And sometimes in the middle of that same team meeting, someone would just, you know, need to go and use the bathroom right quick. And so we would say to them, "We will pray for you that it goes well." And then they would leave and we would pray for them that it would go well. I mean, it was the craziest thing to me. I was both embarrassed and confused by this experience that was so far outside of my own pattern of living. But I was also really fascinated. I was fascinated because I couldn't imagine the level of TMI amongst people who, frankly, I barely knew. And certainly barely trusted. And yet, there it was. But the thing that was so interesting to me about the process is how much our communal commitment to these inquiries of how you're doing and encouragements that you might have a good day and prayers of intercession began to dismantle all the embarrassment that the occasion would normally cause for someone like me. So I think I'm going to leave the story at that little juncture right there. Last week, Bora preached on the friends in the book of Mark who brought the paralytic to Jesus. And Jesus forgave his sins and healed him. First of all, I want to give the strongest encouragement I can to go back and listen to that sermon if you haven't heard it. That is 19 minutes and change well spent. Bora led us off in our new series, and I think she really framed it well for us in the places that we're at. And the name of the series is called Encountering Jesus During Challenging Times. Because these are challenging times. And Bora said it last week, and I'm going to say it again, and probably everyone after me will say it because it needs to be said every single week. These are challenging times. We are all, each of us, bearing a heavier load during this prolonged season. And some of those challenges have come from how our work has been impacted by COVID-19, maybe because of stress and strain or loss of work or isolation, or how things are going in your family, in your relationships there. How are things going with your kids? And maybe it's about isolation and loneliness, or some of those challenges maybe because of ways we're contending with sin in that area of being so isolated, or because of perhaps how you see sin in the world in these days where we see hate crimes and instances of injustice happening over and over again. It is a heavy load to bear. These are challenging times. And so we're looking and longing to see stories of people just like us having encounters with Jesus and are well met by him. We're people who are looking for lifelines and consolation and hope and healing and purpose. And Mark has a lot to speak to us about. And today, this passage that Chai read for us, the story of the leper who came to Jesus and was healed, it's a short little story, just 5 verses, but it has a lot to say to us. I'm not even going to illuminate all the verses. I wish that I could, but I think that our focus this morning is on one piece. This story, the story of the leper, was quite meaningful to me when I was that spring chicken. In fact, I recall reading and studying this particular passage just before I became the spring chicken Christian that I now am. And I remember seeing myself in that desperate person and all their need, coming to Jesus saying, "If you choose, you can make me clean." And Jesus reaching out and touching them and saying, "I do choose, be made clean." What a revelation that was to me of this Jesus who touches us when we feel most untouchable and restores us. It was a miracle to me in my messy life with all the debris and broken things that there's a God who would come that close and engage with me in that way. Of course, there's more to the leper's story than just that piece of that interaction of healing. Jewish law, starting from the time of Leviticus, it set out provisions for how to deal with people who had a skin disorder like leprosy. And one of those provisions was for the health of the community, that people who had this disease would be required to be isolated from society. And may it be that seems at first glance harsh. I'm sure that that's how it felt to me 30 odd years ago. But we know now, more than any time in our history, the value of abiding by quarantine to protect the community you love. So it actually feels a lot more reasonable to me these days. But in the meantime, it's not the only provision. The provision wasn't just for the protection of the community. There were provisions about how does this person, this individual, get restored to community when they are well, through an examination by the priest, which we see Jesus himself urging the leper to do. And there's other provisions for how to worship. I mean, they could still worship God. I mean, altered in a different sort of way. And we know a lot about that as well. Yet those provisions existed. But even though they existed, it's really hard for us to imagine the anguish, both physical and spiritual, for those for whom society had said, you must stay away, you must be kept apart. And, you know, of course, true, it's true that culture is not fully redeemed. And I'm sure that it got twisted up so that what was meant to be a protection for all and an a pathway towards restoration was made probably made much more into a stigma, even in that time. Now, even though I've just mentioned the value of quarantine, COVID-19 is perhaps not the best illustration of what it might have been like to be a leper at this time. I mean, you may have heard, but lots of people get COVID. Unlike skin disease like leprosy, so maybe there's less of a stigma, maybe, about getting COVID-19. However, maybe a truer comparison, let's keep it a little more general, is that a true comparison might be a person to a person with leprosy is someone whose suffering or brokenness, it can't be hidden. And it's the kind of thing that people, when they see it for what it is, they might take a step away. And if we take an honest look at ourselves, we all have aspects of that in us, broken parts of us that we can't fully conceal. And we feel certain that people would look away from us if they could even see how deep it goes, maybe even to the issues that are more than skin deep. And I think this is also true for the leper. The outer manifestation of their malady, it's only the beginning of their suffering. Perhaps the greater aspect of their anguish is the damage caused to their spirit because of shame and rejection, isolation, and even dealing with the bone-deep belief that a part of them is untouchable. But in Jesus, we see in this story that there is nothing that makes us untouchable to him. And his intention towards us is restoration, full restoration, to remove the issue that caused the isolation, as well as all the deeper wounds that were incurred because of that isolation. So for this story, the person with leprosy, they come to Jesus. He heals them. He gives instructions for how to be restored to community, which he disobeys, a lesson perhaps for another day that we won't get into. But it seems so clear, so straightforward. Come to Jesus, kneel before him, ask for what you need. And yes, it is straightforward. But I know, and we know, that it wasn't that simple for the person who had leprosy. It wasn't just a matter of Jesus healing their skin. It was all the internal resistance and fears that they might have to deal with if to expose themselves to other people, to come to Jesus, especially in the presence of judgment or people who might look at them with a side eye. All that fear that Jesus, even Jesus, whom you had heard so many good things about, would also consider you someone who couldn't be healed, who couldn't be touched. Yet in this story, Jesus reveals himself as trustworthy. He doesn't run from the man with leprosy. He doesn't back away. Indeed, he does a thing that is the most opposite of it. He leans in, he touches, he chooses. And we're reminded that when we present ourselves to Jesus, that he's able and willing to touch and heal the parts of us that seem most unsightly, even the parts of us that we have secreted away from community. So when I was in Mexico having those daily discussions about my bowels, I knew that God was unearthing a deeper spiritual truth, much more profound than my digestive system, that Jesus heals us, fully restores us when we allow light to get into those dark places. And it wasn't easy for me. Patterns of secrecy and privacy had and have a huge pull on me. But I do know that it became easier and easier if everyone around you is also willing to talk about their bowels. Indeed, it wasn't just easier. Our hearts were lightened with humor, with solidarity, with the reality that we are all of us a huge mess. I felt affection. I felt loved. I felt seen. And I was moving in some strange way from darkness to light, even in that moment. So I actually wanted to share a very live issue with you, not something that just happened 30 years ago. I wanted to talk to you about a way that Jesus is meeting me in these days. This pandemic has been hard on me in a lot of ways. But one of the ways that it has been hardest for me to talk about with people is my weight. You know, weight is complicated for me. I have a lifelong eating disorder. It's a hard place. And through the grace of God, I have experienced a tremendous amount of healing. But this pandemic, with prolonged stretches of extreme stress, depression, dislocation, wow, the rhythms of health for me have been hugely disrupted. And the more they were disrupted, the more out of reach those rhythms felt. And then as things got worse, my own body began to work against me, making it very hard to even choose those rhythms. They became less and less accessible. And then lastly, as I'm spiraling down in these things, I have felt at times real despair. And so, you know, through that process, of course, my weight has increased, my mobility has decreased, yet I feel the tenderness of Jesus's healing touch in the midst of it. And like the leper discovered, one thing I know is that Jesus wants to heal me and that he chooses to every time. And I'm comforted and encouraged and feel the courage I need to step back into those healthy rhythms that Jesus had already established for me, even though it feels particularly hard. But of course, like the leper, it hasn't just been about the more obvious issue. Weight is a difficult thing in our culture. Like many things, our culture assigns a certain amount of virtue to those who seem to be doing the acceptable or right thing, and a lack of virtue to those who aren't, even when it isn't an issue of virtue. So as my weight went up, I couldn't help but find myself awash with messages, both internal and external. There was something unvirtuous about me, something truly unwelcome. I wish I could say that I overcame that struggle, but in truth, it was impossible not to internalize some of those messages along the way. So my suffering was layered with more suffering that made it easier and easier to squirrel myself away from Jesus and from community, not the whole of myself, but the pieces that felt most unworthy. You may not deal with such a visible issue, but you likely recognize the spiral. So, like the leper, I continue to present myself to Jesus, but I also believe that one of the ways that we are called to be community is to break the stigma of the very things that compel us to Jesus and participate in the full restoration that Jesus intends. And in truth, that's the hardest part for me, where I'm most afraid. I willingly run to Jesus to be healed. But in my ideal scenario, he fixes me right up and there's no need to tell anyone about my dirty laundry. I would rather that folks think I am unaffected by despair or discouragement, that I'm soldiering on and getting better every day. I wish I could skip all that part. And yet it is the revelation of those things that will lead me to full restoration and also lead me into greater love. So even though it's the hard part, it's actually the part that I long for and hope for. Better than being cured of an eating disorder is to be embraced when you have one. So how has that happened for me in these past months? Well, I remember those deep truths that I learned in Mexico. And I rejoice and the sisters and brothers who remind me that it's normal to need Jesus in this way, who ask me questions, gentle questions, especially around the areas where Jesus has already called me into health and healing, who ask me about what Jesus is doing and saying in this area of my life, who ask me what I need, who are in the face, who are the face and hands of Jesus to me, who touch me when I feel most untouchable, who invite me out of the shadows and into the light, who love me even when seeing me at my worst. So, Bora's sermon last week, her application was simple. Be in a life group. Be in a spiritual direction group. Invest in those places. And I want to rally behind her application, but mine, and add a little something to it. It's not so different. I want to add a new exhortation that in those spaces, to normalize talking about unmentionable topics, to bravely share about how it's going in those untouchable places, and to bravely ask others about theirs, that we might remove shame and stigma of how much we all need Jesus and how much more we still have to receive from him. That is my word for you this morning. And I do want to pray for us, even as I give you some encouragement in those life groups as they begin in the following week. Bora gave some questions last week about how you might jump into your life groups and things that you could ask one another. And I have some questions for you to think about this week too. The first is, what are some of the ways that you separate yourself or hide yourself from others when you feel like there's something that you can't let others see about you? What are the things that you do? And the second question, or what are the barriers we feel in asking questions that feel too personal or out of bounds? What are the things that keep us from doing that? Let me pray to close. Jesus, we thank you for your word. We express to you how much we need you and how much more we need to receive. We thank you that it is your desire to be with us, to bring about full restoration, and to love us fully. Pray you would teach us and lead us in these challenging times. We pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Dana, thanks for sharing the word and for being so vulnerable with us. As I reflect on the scripture we heard, I think one of the things that sticks out to me most in that passage is how bold the leper is in approaching Jesus, and that decades of society telling him that he's not worthy to be in public and to approach Jesus kind of go by the wayside. And I don't know what his internal dialogue is, but somehow he gathers the courage to go in front of Jesus, to approach him. And it's not because he thinks he's worthy, but I think he realizes that Jesus' greatness makes him worthy.